pretty good, wasn't it? I appreciate that. Appreciate the good choir singing this morning and the ladies. Boy, didn't they do an outstanding job? Praise God. Finally, some of you woke up this morning. And listen, it is good to be saved. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. And good to have your help. And I know some have told me, they said, Christmas just didn't seem the same this year. Isn't it amazing how caught up we get in events? You know, Christmas just didn't seem the same this year because we didn't have family and et cetera, et cetera. And I get some of that. But again, how often do we get focused on the wrong thing? I think, listen, getting together with family is amazing, wonderful. But we don't celebrate Christmas to get around our family. We celebrate Christmas because God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. And so I understand, you know, people say, well, lost loved ones, Christmas still isn't the same. I get that too. We've all lost loved ones. But again, we get our focus on things that I'm not saying are not important, but they're not the focus of why we do what we do, right? And same thing with church. Church, you go to church, people say, well, you know, church doesn't seem the same because people are not here because of COVID and different things. I get that, right? I'd rather be preaching to a packed house, but I'm glad you're here. Amen. I mean, listen, there's times when it's just me and the media guys, and I love them, but I'd rather be preaching to you than to nobody. And so we can always look at things and say, well, if things were different. Well, they're not. We are where we are. And I'm glad He's still on the throne and He still loves us and He still gave us strength to be here this morning. And so I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful that you're here this morning. So let's stop focusing on all that we don't have and just focus on what we do have. Because you've got more. Hey, listen, you've got more this morning than most people in this world have. So be thankful for what you have and what God's given to you. And I'm thankful for you. So let's turn the Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 7 this morning. And again, thank you for being here. I know it's cold outside. And I was sent Brother Todd Monaghan a text message this morning. And I said, brother, I said, pray for us. It's cold. He sent me one back, laugh out loud, you don't know what cold is. And he's in Iowa. And I thought, well, man, you chose to live there. So if you're cold, that's your fault. It is. It's cold, man. And I know some folks lost their power. And see, I look at it this way, and I'm thankful they're here. If you lost your power and the church has got power, that'd be a place I'd go. Right? Listen, if you don't have heat, if you're watching on the way of the internet and you say, man, I'd come to church, but I don't have heat. We got it. That'd be a reason to come, right? So we can have all the reasons why we don't come, but won't you do this, find a reason to come, right? Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, you can remain seated this morning. The Bible said, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I know you're looking saying, preacher, it's Christmas is over. Let's just move on. Well, I want you to pay attention to the last part of that verse. The Bible said, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know what it's saying? They didn't make room for Jesus. Bottom line is, when it's all said and done, you can look at it this way, that they were not prepared to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, honestly, if we're honest, we're probably all there. I mean, this morning, you're in church. Praise God for that. You're watching by way of internet. Thank you for that. But have we really, think about this year, as crazy as it's been, I know it is. What has consumed you? What has taken your attention for this whole year? What has taken your attention? Maybe not just this year. Maybe it's been 5 years. Maybe it's been 1 month, right? Whatever it is. What is taking your attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's where they were. The fact was that there was no room for them in the inn. And we know Jesus was born in a manger, in a stable, in a cave, really, right? But in our lives, he kind of gets the same treatment, doesn't he? I'll come on Sunday morning, but Sunday night's too hard, Wednesday night's too hard. And before you know it, right, I'll read my Bible. I was telling our Sunday school class, I said, let's talk about goals a little bit, right? And goals are great unless you don't have a plan to accomplish them. And so we talked and we said, yeah, like this. One of our goals should be this, Brother Brad, I want to read my Bible more this year. What's that look like? Because if you didn't read your Bible at all this year, right, and you read one verse next year, by definition, you read your Bible more than you did this year. People say, well, I want to lose weight. Well, that's great. But if you lose 1 pound on January the 2nd, by definition, you lost weight. But if you gain 10, by the end of February, you kind of defeat the purpose, right? And so what happens is we have all these plans. We want to get closer to the Lord. We want to be in Sunday school. We want to tithe. We want to give to missions. We want to read our Bible, pray, witness. But they're all dreams and ideas until we have a plan to put with them. And that's really, listen, when you look in the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied Jesus was coming all through the Old Testament, and then He finally came, and guess what? They weren't ready. Think about Christmas. Guess what? Every year, December 25th, same time of the year, Brother Kenneth, and people say, the day before, I'm just not ready for Christmas. It snuck up on me. How did it sneak up on you? They put it on your calendar in big red letters, Christmas Day. You know how we don't prepare for it, do we? We come to church. We don't prepare for it. We come, listen, to work and come in on two wheels and coffee all over your face because you didn't prepare and you spilled it on the way. We don't prepare. So here we have the world should be in expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And the Bible said there was no room for them in the end. Can I let you in on a secret? He's coming again, and He's going to take people by surprise because they're not prepared for His coming. There's people in our churches that, listen, they're not prepared for His coming. So this morning I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about why Christ gets crowded out of our lives. Hey, we know He's coming, Brother Matt. We know the Bible teaches it. We know that Jesus Himself said He was coming. We know the angels in the book of Acts said this same Jesus in like manner is coming again. We realize that. But listen, in our lives, why is He crowded out? Why is He crowded out of our lives, our homes, our churches, our government, our nation, our world? Why is there no room for Jesus anymore? I mentioned just a few weeks ago, Brother Fry said it so eloquently and so right. We've made COVID-19 our God. That's all people talk about, right? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but the conversation at Christmas was not about, man, isn't it wonderful we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? How many of you, the whole day was consumed about how many had COVID and who that mask and the vaccine. That's all, Brother Fred. It's like, that's what everything's about. It's not about Jesus anymore. You listen, even in church, not about Jesus. Even in our Bible study, oftentimes, not about how it makes me feel. What can I get from the Bible to make me feel better? When are we going to get focused on Him again? When is He going to be enough, right? Even when Jesus came, you remember what they said? We'll not have this man rule over us. Have you crowded Jesus out of your life? Jesus was Christ, as Christ was crowded out 2,000 years ago. He's crowded out today in our lives. He is crowded out in different ways, but still crowded out of our lives. So how is Christ crowded out? Let me give you a couple things. Number one is social pressures. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People don't mind you worshiping God as long as it does not interfere with them. I heard last week I don't remember where it was, and I heard this is what they said. But Tim, they said this, we don't mind you worshiping God at your house, just not in public. Well, guess what? I don't mind you wearing your pajamas, but not out in public. I don't mind just saying dumb stuff, but not in public, right? I don't mind a husband kissing his wife, but not in public, Right? So the very thing they tell us, no, you can do what you want to at your house, but not in public, is what they're trying to say is we don't want Jesus around here. He makes us nervous, right? We don't like you Bible thumpers and you that say you believe Jesus is the Lord and He's the only way. We don't want you in anything. You just stay in your church for now until we tell you you can't go anymore. And then you go to your house and you worship God there until it becomes against the law to worship Him there. And then you just have to do it in your mind. But then that's not good either because He corrupts your mind. And what He was saying is we just want to just crowd Him out. Don't you post anything on social media. Don't say anything at work. Don't say anything at school. Don't pray in school. Don't bring your Bible to school. Don't wear a shirt that says, I love Jesus. Amen. Don't do that. So, little by little, Jesus is being pushed out. Preacher, don't get in church and preach the Bible. You'll offend people. They won't come back. Give them a message that's going to enlighten them and make them feel good. I don't want to make you feel bad. But I don't want to crowd Him out either. Amen. See, we like the idea of godliness. We like the idea of religion. But we don't like the idea of God changing lives. The power of God. We don't want to hear about that, Brother Johnny. We don't want to hear about revival, right? We don't want to. Let's just go through the motions. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, whatever your thing is. But let's not really expect God to do anything, right? But why do we do that? Why is it that you and I have a form of godliness as Christians, right? You say, not me, preacher. But look at where we are, folks. Why do we do that? Well, part of it is fear. Fear. We won't stand for God because it's not popular. If you stand for God at work, you might lose your job. If you stand for God at school, you might be expelled. If you say anything positive about the Lord on social media, you might get blocked, right? Hey, the fact is, if you go knock on a door, they're upset with you for doing that. But I promise you this, the fact is, we're no longer a Christian nation because we have, in 200 and some years, basically said what this nation's been founded on. We don't want you here anymore, God. We don't want you here. And so that fear, we won't stand for God because it's not popular to be a Christian. There was a day, Brother Eddie, when people thought it was, I won't say cool, but it was acceptable to be someone that believed the Bible. But you know what you hear now? Listen, believe the science. Believe the science. There's no place for fear. Believe our faith. Believe the science. Well, guess what? Science has not disproven the Bible. The theory of evolution is still a theory because they have not proven it. They cannot prove to me that man was not created in the image of God because I know he was. So here's what I'm saying. We have a fear of standing out. We don't want to look like ourselves. We don't want people to look at us and hear us and think of us as something different. And so we try to fit in and we keep our Christianity bottled up so that people won't look at us funny. Yeah? I'll give you an example. Ready for this? All right, we're going to do an experiment. Everybody awake? I want you to do two things. First thing, I want you to repeat after me. Amen. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Amen. Amen. Do it again. Amen. How hard was that? Everybody did it together, right? I want you to do this together with me. Ready? Come on. How hard was that? Was it difficult? When everybody does it, it's not difficult. If you're as an individual, it's more difficult, right? My point being is, we come to church, and it's interesting to me, the choir sings, and I hear two people doing this. If you want to clap for the choir, clap for the choir. It would probably encourage them. So when they look at your face and you look like this, it does not discourage them. If you want to say amen for the choir, say amen. If you want to say amen for the singer, say amen. If you want to say amen during the preaching, do it. And what I'm saying is that fear causes us, if God's saying, listen, I want you to just Say amen. I want you to raise your hand. We'll go, well, nobody else is doing it. We're people, we're creatures of fear, aren't we? So we're afraid to express how we feel about God because we're afraid that someone's going to look at us like we're some kind of nut. Do you really? Listen to me. Let's just examine it. When you go to Walmart and you see all the nutty, crazy people in this world, is that what you're aiming for? I mean, just to walk around with some dignity, talk like you have some sense. I mean, live in a civilized society where people aren't acting like a bunch of nut jobs. That's weird. Well, then I'll be weird. I don't want to act like the rest of what's going on. I don't want to look like the rest. I don't want to talk like that, right? Amen. But it's that fear that I'm going to stand out and that someone's not going to think that I'm all that. But here's the deal, folks. Listen to me. There is an eternity to gain in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we're in heaven and all this is behind us, it's not going to matter. So why fear? I'm not afraid of anything. Sure you are. You may not be afraid of a snake. I am, by the way. You may not be afraid of a bear or a spider, but listen, social pressure causes us to fear. There's also not only fear, there's failure. The reason that social pressure, failure. We fail to remember the great price that Jesus Christ paid for us. And so therefore, we're afraid that we're going to fail at work if we do this. We're going to fail in society if we stand for God. So we fail to be faithful to God. We fail to be fruitful. Listen, I want to ask you this. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, love Jesus, not going to hell, et cetera, et cetera. But how many people have you personally, I didn't say how many people were saved in the church, how many people have you personally witnessed to this year? Gave your testimony. Told them how Jesus saved you out of your sin sick condition. Well, I'm just going to be afraid. I'm afraid. I thought you said you weren't afraid of anything. I'm not talking about running them down the Romans road. I'm just asking you how many people you have even said anything to Jesus about Jesus this year. We fail. We're not fruitful. The Bible said, told Adam and Eve, God said this, right? Be fruitful and what? Multiply. How do you know when you're fruitful? You multiply. How do you know when a fruit tree is fruitful? It's got some fruit on it, right? I mean, let's get theologically deep. You know a tree is alive and vibrant when it's got some fruit on it. And it's interesting, Brother Eddie, how people say, well, you know what? Must be something wrong in the church because people ain't being saved every week. Ready? You know who the church is made up of? Us. So we're really telling on ourselves, aren't we? We're not fruitful. Hello? We're afraid to look like a failure in front of society, in front of this world, that social pressure of you look like a loser if you're a Christian. Hey, you can, listen. You can go on Instagram and see idiots drunk out of their mind doing the most stupid things you've ever done. Man, they're really cool. They're stupid. They're misguided. They're misled. And then you find somebody that posts a Bible verse and it's like, boy, they're weird. The weird is putting yourself in a position where you could get physically hurt for doing something ignorant. Not even ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know. They know. Stupid, so that somebody will give you some kind of accolade on Instagram. So they end up being 40, 50, 60 year old. doing the same thing, broke up, right, physically. And they're going, nobody hears from them. That's not failure. Failure of serving God is failure. Well, you're not a failure because you serve God. Listen, what you're doing is you're laying the groundwork for eternity. Don't leave Christ out of your life, young person. Well, you know, one day when I get older like you, like when you're old like you are, don't you call me old. Then I'll start serving God. Too late, right? Too late. You and I have got to figure out that right now. Well, next year, listen, you may not make it the next year. There's a few days left in this year. So this morning, don't look at what you're going to do in the future. Look at what you're going to do today. So there's that fear, and then there's that failure. Number two is not only social pressure, there is secular pressure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible said, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here's what we're saying. Men are seeking pleasure. That's it. We want what feels good. Yeah? Man goes out of their way to find pleasure. You take an extramarital affair. What's the attraction? Is the attraction divorce? No. Is the attraction that your wife will kill you? No. Is the attraction that you have drugged the name of God through the mud? No. The attraction is the immediate gratification, right? And I'm using that as an example because it's across the board. Listen, it's whatever feels good right now. Who cares about later? Live for today, live right now. But here's the problem. If you don't die the same day, then the consequences of that action, you're going to have to pay for. Oh, but preacher, I thought it's all under the blood. It's all grace. It is, but listen, that doesn't mean there's no consequence to your actions and mine. Right? So man rarely counts the cost of pleasure. They just count the gratification of what they get immediately. The Bible tells us, right, that sin is pleasurable for a season. But we have to look at the after effects. Wisdom teaches us to look and say, what happens down the road if I do this, right? So there's the seeking of pleasure, but then there's the satisfaction of pleasure. Why is it that we say, God, I don't want... Listen, why is it this morning? And I know we'll say, well, preacher, they're just young people. They're doing what young people do. Really? Because if they're just young people doing what young people do, what you're saying is that God's not powerful enough to change somebody's life until they're an adult. That's what we're saying. Because they're willing to submit to the pleasure of the flesh, that God's not powerful enough to keep them from that. What we're saying. Well, I can show you teenagers that have not. So what's wrong? Well, they're weird. Why are they weird? Because they don't listen to worldly music? Because they don't go out drinking on the weekend? Because they actually love the person they say they got that saved them? I don't think that's weird. What I'm saying is this. The satisfaction of pleasure is temporary, right? It is temporary. It never satisfied. Why is it the person says, hey, I just want to try drugs one time. Why is it that now, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, they're still hooked? Because that one led to another that led to more that led to more. And listen, where did they say, we ought to legalize marijuana? We ought to get the money off of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It'd take care of the taxes. What happens when they get hooked on harder drugs? Well, it's no different, preacher. It is. Because if it is a gateway drug, then what happens is that's not enough, so people say, I need something better. So as long as we make money off of it, we legalize it. What's wrong? wrong. You got idiots now that want to legalize prostitution. We're just, it's like we live in a day where whatever. If we can monetize it, it never satisfied, it leaves you wanting more. Right? Yay. Used to, you had to go down to some sketchy part of town, right? To buy, look at pornography. Now? You know why it's popular? Because it's not real.
Right. Oh, what my life looks like there. Have you seen you? Go ahead. Go ahead, preacher. So we're this pleasure, this secular pleasure leaves us wanting more.
And so we're saying, listen, we can't do that and serve God. So we'll just have to crowd him out so we can enjoy this life. Oh, listen, I'm saved. I said prayer when I was 5 years old. Asked Jesus into my heart. Well, if he's really there, wouldn't he have changed you some? Right? Is that secular pleasure? Number three, sensual pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:6, led away with divers lust. In other words, the immorality. Listen, we live in a wicked day. I'm not going to go into all that. You understand what I'm talking about. But people are crazed by passion to fulfill desires. And it's not just we think of the physical. But lust is not just physical. You can lust after a job. You can lust after money. You can lust after material things, right? It causes us to lose satisfaction with how God has blessed us. Listen. Every Christmas, I tell you this, you know, they put all this stuff on TV. Man, if you had this, make your life better. If you had this car, listen, I like the one where the guy comes in. I think he had like a black watch and a red watch, right? And he says, look, I got us, his wife did that. And he said, look, go outside. And he got two cars. One was like a burgundy SUV and one was a black truck. And she ran over to the truck. She said, I love it. He said, no, that one's yours. She said, I love it. He said, oh, I like red. But you know what we do? If I had that truck, if I had that car, if I had that house, I'd be happy. But you know someone somewhere would be content with what you threw away at Christmas? Think about it. The immorality, the impropriety. Our character is being lost to gain what we want. Listen to me. Let me tell you what's going on. Now, I'm not asking what political party you're part of, because I'm going to tell you this. Both sides, there's corruption. You know what you're seeing now? You're seeing just how nasty and how corrupt our government is. You say, that's right, preacher. Watch, time out. You know why they're there? Because the citizens of this country voted them in. So you know what it tells me? We have the elected officials that we deserve. Oh, not me, preacher. Hey, when's the last time? We do it every Sunday night. We look at different states, the number of churches, the lack of churches in states in this country. We have failed to evangelize our nation and we're paying the price for it. Representing Christ should be our highest responsibility, right? Wherever you are, school, work, church, neighborhood, Christmas, New Year's Eve. Hey, I'm not done. There's Christians that
Oh, New Year's Eve is we gotta celebrate. They're gonna be out drinking, partying, and then it's Sunday they'll be. I love Jesus. Well, you didn't love him on New Year's. And then number four, I'm done. Selfish pursuits. Why do we crowd Jesus out? 2 Timothy 3:2, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud. Possessions. Stuff is more important than the Savior. Stuff's more important. Stuff is more important than our stewardship. Every year, you know what happens? This time of the year, you know what offerings do? Not just in our church, probably across the board. But it's Christmas. I'll start giving after the first of the year. So what you're saying is, so that your child, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, some got work you can't even stand, get some stuff, your tithes and offerings don't matter. Let me ask you this. So what happens January 1st when churches say, you know what? We don't have enough to pay the light bill. Well, tell you what, well, to trust God. Why didn't you trust Him? Right? We live in a very materialistic society. You got people in churches pay more in cell phone bills than they tithe. Hello? Oh, you got to have a cell phone. Spend more on the internet and direct TV than they tithe. Well, you got, what are we going to do if we don't have direct TV? What are we going to do if you don't have internet? What did they do before? I know. Had revival. Our possessions. Let me ask you this. All right? Don't. I'm almost done. I'm not here to grieve you. Right? How many of us really needed anything for Christmas? I mean, really? Well, most of, see, maybe the younger generation doesn't understand this, you know, as much as we did. And I'm sure that the generation before us will look at us and say, yeah, you don't get it either, you know. Because I remember hearing stuff like, yeah, we got nuts and raisins in our stock, and we were happy. Brother Jazz, same crowd that walked uphill in the snow to school both ways, too, right? No, I'm kidding. But I remember this, brother. We just got, most of the time, what we got for Christmas, we got stuff for Christmas and for birthday. I mean, that was kind of the two big things. And you got some school clothes, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't like every time you went to Dollar General or you went to the mall, you had to get your kids stuff because you didn't have it. Had Sky City, right? You went to McDonald's, right? Once in a while. And so now we live in a generation today, and I'm not just picking on the youngest because we're just bad. You want something, you go get it, right? There's a store on every corner. Now you don't have to do that. You just click some stuff, bro, Ken, and that dude will run out of his van, drop it on your doorstep, run back. You don't even have to see anybody. So how many of us really, this Christmas, needed anything that we got? Got a closet full of clothes? And it's like, you got to figure this out, right? I got to figure out what they don't have, what they like, what they want, etc. And you lost the whole thing. Christmas is stressful and stinks because we got to buy stuff. Right? Why? because we like stuff. We do. I raise my hand. Don't look at the floor like it's who he's talking about. All of us. And we crowd the Lord out and say, listen, I want people to get saved, but somebody else is going to have to give the missions. I got to pay for Christmas. Now Christmas is over. Guess what? Now you got to pay for however long the junk you bought on credit cards. I think we ought to support missionaries, preacher. But I ain't going to. We crowd him out from our possessions and then with our pride. See, hang with me for 2 minutes, I'm done. Me being right is more important than me being right with God. You don't believe it? Just a moment, we'll give an altar call. And I'm not here, I'm not the Holy Spirit, I don't know what's going on in your life, in your heart, right? I'm not, you know, we don't give altar calls to try to drag you to the altar. But here's what I want to ask you. Are you as close to God today, last Sunday of 2020, are you as close to Him as you have ever been? I mean, are you at the pinnacle of your Christianity right now? Or do you have to look back and say, you know, a couple of years ago, I was reading my Bible, praying, giving, witnessing. I just enjoyed fellowship with God. No, if I were honest, that's probably the highlight. That's probably the pinnacle of my Christianity. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart this morning and says, why don't you go to the altar? Mm-mm. Nope, I'll do it when I get home. See what we're missing? We're crowding Him out because we are proud. I don't want to go to the altar because if I go to the altar, people are going, the way preacher preached this morning, if I go to the altar, people are going to know what's going on. Can I help you with something? You won't be the only one. Because I would dare say this morning, we all have something going on. I would dare say the Lord has probably dealt with all of us this morning about how we've crowded Him out of our lives in different areas. But don't let your pride hinder going forward. You come this morning, you've had the worst year ever, you've not been close to God, you've sinned, whatever. I don't know. But this morning's your opportunity to get on this altar and say, God, you know what? I'm wrong. I confess it. I believe your word that you forgive me. I've crowded you out. I've said no because of these reasons. Maybe not even those reasons. Maybe something else going on in your life. Maybe hurt, right? Maybe anger. Maybe depression. I don't know what it is. And I'm not judging you this morning. I'm saying whatever it is, why not get it right this morning? You don't have to go into the next year the same way that you've lived this year. Some of you, including me, we need some victory in our life. And you're not going to get it because of the economy, because you get a stimulus check. You're not going to get it because this one or this one's in the White House. You're going to get it when you realize that whoever's in the White House, whatever, you know, COVID 20, 21, 24, whatever's next, SARS, I don't know what's coming down the pike. But the Bible tells me I can have victory. So why would you not? Why this morning would you not invite Him into your life if you believe He is who He says He is? And what hinders us most is our pride. No. So we crowd Him out. Don't let that be you this morning. God can do more in your life than you could imagine if you'll just throw your hands up and say, you can have it. I'm done. I'm done fighting. You can have it. And you'll actually be kind of happy. Have some joy in your life. or you can crowd him out. You can say like these Jews did, say, hey, we'll not have this man rule over us. We'd rather have Barabbas. We'd rather have a criminal. It's up to you this morning. Will you stand with me? Stand with me all over the auditorium. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's bow our heads this morning. No one's looking around. People make their way to the altar. I want to ask you a question. This morning, if I asked you this, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Could you raise your hand and say, absolutely. Absolutely. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I died this very minute, I'd go to heaven. If you cannot do that, I want you to do this. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you. I just simply want to pray for you this morning. Would you say, Pastor, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Slip it up, put it right back down. Thank you. Is there another? Is there another this morning? If I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I'd like you to pray for me. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for that precious soul that raised their hand. There may be others that did not, but in their heart, they're not settled about where they'd spend eternity. I pray in the stillness, the quietness of this time, that you give them the confidence and the assurance, whether they raise their hand or not, to just step out of their seat. Come forward and we'll show them how they can know they're on their way to heaven. Thank you for what you're doing in this service today in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you raised your hand or you didn't, and in your heart you know something's wrong, and you say, hey, I'd like to know for sure how I can know I'm going to heaven. If you'll come, if you're a lady, we'll put you with a lady that can show you. If you're a man, we'll put you with a man that can show you how you can know where you'll spend eternity. Will you come? Maybe you just need to come pray. Many are on the altar praying this morning. What's separating you from the Lord this morning? What's causing you to crowd Him out? There's no way to live. I promise you this. Listen, and I'm not critical. I'm saying you're never going to have victory until you invite Him in. Oh, if this would happen, this would happen, this would happen. But it may never not. It may never happen. You can still have victory. You come on. You mind the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the message, and thank you for speaking our hearts this morning. You sure have been good to us. Thank you for every decision that's been made for you this morning. Lord, thank you again for your love, your compassion, and your understanding. So as we leave in just a few moments, I ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to our hearts. For those that raised their hand, for those that didn't before they leave, please just put on their heart to ask someone. What a great gift to know the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for again all you've done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.